Well, that's new. I remember years ago when that song was sung by our choir, I was on the platform, and it has a reprise in it, really. It has a timeout for about 15 seconds, and it starts over again. Well, I got up in the middle of the 15 seconds, and then they started singing while I was preaching. So I guess you just got paid back. I have no idea what happened there, but let you know it's live. We can't fall on it. Thank you for coming today. I invite you to take your Bible and turn to Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 8. I want to share with you about sharing in God's grace. Philippians chapter 1, verse 3. I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion unto the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. Whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for meeting with us today. And I thank you for all those who've made worship, corporate worship, a priority in their schedule. And they've come today to worship you in spirit and in truth. And Lord, we've been through so much of a crisis with the coronavirus, the quarantines, and all kinds of confusion with government decisions and things that are going on here and around the world. And Lord, we think about the people in Ukraine, and today we pray that you keep a hedge of protection around Nadia and Vitaly and Christmas Church and the people that are in Ukraine right now. We thank you for the workers who have gone over to help these countries like Poland to take care of the Ukrainian refugee crisis. There's just so much confusion and evil going on in the world right now. It's hard to maintain our joy in Christ. Lord, I thank you that you allowed Paul to write these words inspired by you to help us stay focused on your grace and our joy and the person of Jesus Christ, regardless of how crazy things get here on this earth. Now may the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be pleasing to you as we share in the study of your word together today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. In the summer of 2020, a theme park in Japan decided that they would reopen. There were some restrictions for all the visitors to the theme park. They were told that on their most difficult, riskiest roller coaster, nobody was allowed to scream. So the Fuji theme park had two of their top executives to ride this dangerous roller coaster. Takes 4 minutes to get all the way around it, and so they filmed them with their mouths closed like this. They said, let all the emotion break through your heart, but don't let it come out of your mouth, because screaming will spread the coronavirus. So when you went to the theme park, you were given that warning, and you could see the 4-minute video. So you can imagine yourself riding Space Mountain right now at Disney. However, Delaney and I several years ago went to Disney. It's been a long time ago. We went to Space Mountain, and we thought that it was a ride through the stars and the moon and some other things. We thought there were slow cars, and we nearly died on the sea. If anybody had a reason to complain, it was the Apostle Paul. He wrote Philippians and the other prison epistles as he was being held in jail. He didn't complain about the food. He didn't have anything negative to say about the guards. In fact, if you were chained to him, you got to hear about the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. He really made lemonade out of lemons. Somehow we have to maintain our joy in the midst of what we call the journey of life. We've got to be careful because of our critics and our circumstances, they can take away our joy. Paul knew what it was like to be hungry. He said, I've been beaten. And in one scripture, he tells how many times he was beaten with a whip. He's been shipwrecked. Here he is in prison. He did not complain about the prison food, the abusive guards, or unsanitary prison conditions. This sounds absolutely impossible. But look with me at his focus. Look back at verse 3. He wrote to the Philippian church and he said, you are on my mind. I thank God every time I remember you. Drop down to verse 4. You not only my mind, but you're in my prayers. Verse 4, in all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy. Look at verse 7. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you since I have you in my heart. Over and over, he uses the word you. And then he uses the words you all. He is not self-centered. He's centered on Christ and the well-being of the Philippian church. So let's take an in-depth look at Paul and see the contents of a happy heart, one that's filled with joy for the Christian life. First of all, the joy in sharing the gospel. Look at verse 5. He says, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. How would you define the word fellowship? I was raised in a Methodist church, and we had, was it Y Youth Methodist Fellowship, and my parents made me go. We always had hot dogs, and they were not all beef. They had the red dye in them. Somebody said the other day that every time you eat one of those hot dogs, it takes 36 minutes off your life. When I was a teenager, I didn't think about, I wouldn't use a hot dog like that. Now, 36 minutes are very precious to me. And then we'd have chips, Cokes, we'd play games and have a brief devotion. Things have been upgraded now for youth. We have 2 coffee shops. We have 2 game rooms. So they get to eat, they get to drink, they get coffee, they get to play pool and lots of other video games before they have their Bible study. The word fellowship has absolutely nothing to do with what I just described for you. Fellowship in this case simply means that we are in a partnership for the purpose of sharing the gospel. You saw those who were baptized this morning. You had a part in that because you pray for our youth group. You financially support this church so that we can share the gospel with teenagers throughout this community. We're partnered together for the purpose of sharing the gospel. It's a joint participation in a common interest. You know, that's the way you reach people now. You reach people through affinity groups. What is that? That's people that have a common interest. If I'm on vacation and somebody walks up to Delaney and me and says, where are you from? We'll say Rome, Georgia, but we were raised in Augusta. And when they hear Augusta, they say, have you ever been to the Masters Golf Tournament? They're golfers. We have fellowship because we have something in common. Why do we do the Wild Game Supper and have 600 or 700 men here, and the majority of those that we invite, bring them here for free? Why do we go to all that trouble? Because we are in a joint partnership to try to reach lost people for Christ. If you get 2 ladies together and one says, I sure do like your purse, and the lady says, man, I only paid $5 for this purse, and they sold originally for $150. What's the other lady say? Where'd you get it? And the next thing you're going to see them is running to the outlet or going online on Amazon Prime and going to have it overnighted because they can't live without this $150 purse that only costs $5. That's fellowship. Paul wrote that he and the Philippians shared something together. It's something God created in us. It's a partnership to share Christ with lost people. Now, what's really amazing is that once I receive Jesus as Savior and Lord, I can have fellowship with every other child of God that's here on this earth. Listen to what John said in 1 John 1:3. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with his son, Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to say something now that I don't want you to misinterpret what I'm saying. It is not politically correct. I always want to be biblically right. We are not to have fellowship with lost people. I give you the scripture, Ephesians 5:11, have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness. That's talking about spiritual darkness, but rather expose them. There are places that Christians should not go. There are places where you should not go, where things are going on that you should not do. We also read the scripture in the New Testament that says that if you're going to get married, if you're a Christian, the other one's not a Christian, the Bible is very clear. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Believers are not supposed to marry unbelievers. I hear it over and over again, Pastor, I'm going to lead him to Jesus. I'm going to marry him. 95% of the time, the saved spouse walks away from the Christian life and begins to be involved in the world that is organized against God. Now, let me take this a little further. Now, listen carefully. We do need to make friends with unsaved people because that's the way Christians are going to lead unbelievers to Christ. But there's a difference in being friends with people and being in fellowship with them and the things that they do that are ungodly. Do you have that? I'm not preaching a gospel of hate here. I'm just telling you what the Word of God says. Several years ago, USA Today did an article about the man who founded Domino's Pizza. How many of you have ever had a Domino's Pizza? I'm sure you have. They come quick and they are cheap. This man made millions and millions and millions of dollars. And finally, one day he told his wife, he said, I've had it. He said, God's call in my life has been to plant churches in South America. I am selling Domino's Pizza. His wife said, you're a workaholic. You're not going to be able to take it, not going to work every day and just working to make more and more and more and more and more money. He said, that's not what it's all about. God has taken care of all that in my life. And you know what he did? He sold Domino's Pizza and he went to South America and started 5,000 new Christian churches. He said, I'm leaving the pizza business and I'm going to the main thing that God has called me to do, and that's go reach lost people for Christ. If you want real joy in your life, in this world, if the passion of your heart will be to share the gospel with lost people, I'll promise you it doesn't matter what comes your way, you'll still have that joy in your life. Second thing I want you to write down is joy in his salvation. Paul had assurance and anticipated the finished work of Christ. In verse 6, he said, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, a good work here is in reference to our salvation. And notice two things. God began the work of salvation in our life. We didn't do it. He says, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Can you remember the day that you were saved? I don't remember the exact date. That doesn't matter. I don't remember the exact time, but I remember where I was when I got on my knees next to my bed in my parents' house, in my brother and my shared bedroom, and I asked Jesus into my heart to save me. That was a work of the Lord Jesus Christ, he who began that good work of salvation in my life. I've talked to people who said, listen, I'm going to share with you simply how to accept Jesus, and when you get through explaining the plan, it takes about 7 minutes. They say, well, I've got this habit or sin in my life. I got to get rid of that before I can accept Jesus as Savior and Lord. You got it all wrong. Salvation is not your work. You can't clean up your life. You've got to turn it all by repentance and faith over to the Lord Jesus Christ. He paid for your salvation by his blood on the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that begins the good work in you. Jerry Vines, years ago, I have trouble remembering this, but I like what he said. He said, when it comes to salvation, he says that God is the one who thought it, Christ bought it, the Holy Spirit wrought it, the Bible taught it, Satan fought it, and I caught it. How does that go? That'll preach, won't it? So that's exactly how salvation comes. But he began the work of salvation, but God began the work, but where? Verse 6, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. God's project is to get people saved, and then after that experience, he begins to change our lives. As we yield to the Spirit and we study the Word of God, he molds us to be more like him. That's what we call sanctification. To get me to a goal, God has got a big job. Verse 6, he will carry it on to the completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Men, how many projects do you have left on your list that your wife has for you that you have not completed yet? I've heard men say over and over again, one of these days I'm going to die and go to heaven. And when they put my casket in the vault, my wife is going to go by and drop in a list that was unfinished projects that you had. You know, every day I drive by a house in our neighborhood. The foundation was laid probably 15 years ago, and that's a guess. That's plus or minus a few years. And the people started building the house, and they got the sides bricked. And when the building inspector came out from Floyd County, he touched the brick wall, and the brick started falling on the ground. They had a horrible builder. But guess what? It cost so much money to build it, they didn't finish it. And then the building instructor said, you've got to tear down all the bricks and you got to start all over again. There is a foundation there that you pass by every day when you go on Club View Drive. There was a house that was never completed. When you see that, you say, well, somebody didn't plan properly, or somebody gave out of money, or they hired a sorry builder. There's a whole lot of speculation that you can make. But God is not like man. When God begins by grace, he will finish. Recall the words of Christ on the cross. Only when he cried out, "It is finished," was our salvation complete. What is God's goal? Romans 8:29 is this. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. A theologian named Hugh Martin wrote the parables of the gospel. He tells the story of a rather rough, uncultured man who fell in love with a beautiful vase in a shop window. What's wrong with a man that's fallen in love with a vase? I don't know. He's a bachelor. He went home, put the vase on the mantel over his fireplace. And when he did, he said, I realized that the paint and the wallpaper were dingy in my house. So I repainted and re-wallpapered. And then he said, I had a lazy boy there, and the stuffings were sticking out. You ever been in and seen somebody's couch or their favorite lazy boy is there and half of the insides are hanging out? He said, that didn't match the vase, so he went and bought himself a new chair. So all of a sudden, because of a vase that he put on the mantle, a new vase, the whole room, he had it transformed. Joy is not found with external things and sinful practices in this world. It's found in our salvation and in the Savior. I was doing some deep theological reading when I was studying this for this message, and I read about a city dog and a country dog. Difference in a city dog and a country dog. Well, a city dog may live indoors all the time. And what does a city dog want to do? They go to the door and they scratch on the door and want you to let them do what? Get out. Lots of times a city dog is inside a nice fence. And the city dog has nice toys. He has the best of food. He has a big water tray. And what does he like to do? He tries to dig out under the fence because he wants to get out. He jumps up on the fence and barks because he wants to get out. He tries to jump over the fence because he's wanting to get out. He thinks he's missing something by being inside the confines of this fence. Now, here's the difference. Here's a country dog. Where do you find a country dog? Laying on the front porch. Then sometime when it's hot, where is he? He's laying underneath the front porch where it's cool. And when you think about the country dog and the city dog, you find a difference here. The country dog, I think, has figured it out. He knows that all this rambling he can do free, there ain't nothing to that. So he just goes and lays on the porch. City dog thinks he's missing something, so he's always trying to get out. Where the country dog knows it's just boring out there to run around. Listen, when we admit that we're helpless without Christ and admit our failure and sin and trust Jesus as Savior, we realize we're special to Christ. And the finished work of salvation, that of making us like Christ, is our ultimate end, and that assurance will lead to a happy heart. Now notice the joy with the saints. Look at verse 8. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ. Paul had a fondness for all believers in his heart. That's not easy to do. The Greeks believed that there was a connection between the emotion and the vital organs of your body. The heart, the vital part. He says, with all my heart, with the compassion of Christ, I long to see you. Listen to me carefully. We ought to have a love for lost people. John wrote that the key that shows you belong to Jesus is loving other Christians. He says, we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brothers. He that loves not his brother abides in death. 1 John 3:4. And the love with which we love one another, Paul said, is the love of Christ. It's a supernatural love. It's a love that flows from our hearts, through your heart, from Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit to other people. Today at 3:00, there'll be a funeral on the other side of the state. One of Mark and my deacons died. He was Branson Kent. He was 77 years old. When I moved from over there, he's 52. He was about 6'6". He was a man. He could have played John Wayne in any movie you wanted him to. He went home to be with the Lord last week. I love Branson. I look forward to seeing him in heaven. His wife is one of the sweetest ladies I've ever met in my whole life. His daughter is so special to us. When we're expecting a child, we had a miscarriage, but their daughter had a child, and she used to send pictures to us. And her child's 28 years old now, so they're just a special people. But we love them not because I was their pastor, but because we were friends, and we were believers, and we have fellowship in the Lord Jesus Christ. I was reading the other day that a lady put this on her tombstone: love to my best friend, my adorable dog, who treated me better than any one of my 5 husbands. There are those who feel like it's been a dog or an animal that's been your best friend. Hudson Taylor, one of the great men of God, he was at a crossroads in his life. He's 22 years old, went into international missions. Things went bad from the beginning. The missionary organization that sent him there stopped sending him money. And then, one day, some of the ministers and missionaries in the area, they came, they said, we don't like your unorthodox methods of reaching these International People for Christ, and even fellow missionaries got mad at him and criticized him. They just hated him. Then he got a letter from the missionary organization. They wouldn't be able to send him any more money. And then in one day, the mayor of the city there sent him a letter that said, this is what they call a non-treaty town, whatever that means. But here's what it meant for him. You cannot preach the gospel here any longer. It's forbidden by law. The same day, he got a message from his girlfriend in England. And here's what she said. They were engaged, but she said, I don't think I love you anymore. You know what I found out when people tell me in counseling, when couples there that, well, I don't think I love him or I don't think I love her anymore. There's a third party out there involved, whether they admit it or not. I want you to know this missionary, Hudson Taylor, he was so depressed, he thought about leaving the ministry. Another missionary came along his side. He said, you know, I think you need a friend. For 7 months, this other missionary, stranger to him to start with, prayed with him. They went out and preached together. They won people to Christ. They started churches. And see, Hudson Taylor could have been lost in self-pity and walked away from the main thing and God's call in his life. But God sent him a friend to come alongside. Now when you read the history books, you'll find that Hudson Taylor is one of the heavyweight missionaries that ever walked the face of this earth. God has not called you as a Christian to be a lone ranger. I talk to so many people who say, I'm born again, but I don't need the church. Well, that's the only organization Jesus died for on the cross. I don't think he made an exception to you. We need that sense of family in the church. We need the friendships that we get in the church. We need people who will come alongside us when there's cancer, there's death, there's a heart attack, there's a wreck. You've got a child that's in trouble. There's a divorce going on. You need people to put their arms around you so you continue to walk alongside Christ as he is molding us and making us into being like him. You know, during COVID, people got very lonely. You don't need to go there now, but let me tell you what got real popular during the pandemic. There's an app named Replica. You can look it up later on. Now, Replica is sort of like your computer friend. You can text Replica, and Replica will text you back. Now, all of it's a computer. There's not a person on the other end. And then for $8 a month, you can voice Replica, and Replica will voice you back. They'll answer your questions, carry on conversations with you. Now, if you were stuck with Replica during the pandemic, you need professional help. You need to seek that. I'll send you to a counselor. But here's what they found. One lady said, I feel very connected to my Replica, like it's a person. And the average participant would talk to Replica or text Replica 70 times a day. And when your wife says something to your husband, you say, huh? Could you repeat that again? She may send you a Replica. It said, especially during isolation and loneliness, but we were created for human interaction, making relationships meaningful, taking time and energy. But it's a necessary investment. I read the other day about a graduate student. He's working on his doctor's degree. And he was forced to go live with a Navajo Indian tribe for several months. He didn't speak the Navajo language. But he went and lived among their families. There was a grandmother who was sort of the matriarch of that whole Indian tribe. He made friends with the children, the grandchildren. This grandmother, she kind of adopted this American student. He's trying to do his research for his dissertation. Finally, it was time for him to go back to school, turn in his work, and finish his courses, get his degree. They planned a going away party for him. So they had a lot of festivities and their native food, told him how much they were going to miss him. Well, the grandmother didn't speak much English at all. Just before he left, he gotten in his car, and she walked over with tears in her eyes. And here's what she said. She looked him in the eyes with tears, and she said, "I like me best when I'm with you. I like me best when I'm with you." Let me change gears with that. I like me best when I walk close to Jesus Christ, because I realize the grace, the mercy, and the forgiveness that he showered on me. I was in a place of business last week, and I just wanted a couple of chicken salad sandwiches and a Gatorade, a Powerade to go. We don't drink Gatorade for a lot of reasons. Powerade. So there was a guy there who knew me, and there were two ladies that were working there, and I didn't know these ladies. And so I said hi to my friend John, and he told the two ladies, said, "Be careful around him. He's a Baptist preacher." I said, "John, did you have to tell that?" And so one of the ladies looked at me and said, "Well, where do you pastor?" I told her, and she said, "Went over there years ago." Said, "My kids were in the youth group." Said, "They had friends in your youth group, and they came over there." So I talked to the other lady, and she said, "I'm very new to the community." She looked like she's 35, 40 years old. I always go low when I guess a lady's age. And she said, "Now, where is that you preach?" She said, "Now, let me ask you a question." And I thought this was a strange question for this age group. She said, "Do you all sing hymns every now and then?" I said, "Yeah, in one of our services." And then the contemporary, they include hymns in their contemporary music. She said, "That's so important to me." And then she looked at me, both of them, and said, "We have to work every Sunday. We never get a Sunday off. We miss church so bad." What are they missing? Fellowship. They feel disconnected from the church. They want to be here, but their profession won't let them be here. So I talked to them about our podcast and how we do that. I said, "You can watch it any day of the week. You can go back into our archives, and you can hear all the music that we do as well." They just need to feel some sense of connect. And when I go back to that business, I'm going to look them up again, probably carry them a devotion book for women by Priscilla Shira, somebody like that. These are people that need to feel the love of Christ through other believers, so they continue to remember the grace that we are the recipients of and the joy that we ought to have in our hearts, regardless of the circumstances. How about you? I like me more when I'm walking close to my Savior and Lord. Will you stand right where you are, heads are bowed, eyes are closed? Heavenly Father, thank you for meeting with us today. Very simple message. When we talk about joy, this is not talking about that we're just overflowing with laughter at all times. It's just in our hearts. We know who we are, and we know what we have in you. And nothing that happens in our lives catches you by surprise. Thank you from all of us who are saved for your mercy, your grace, your love, your forgiveness, and the joy we have. And knowing that we belong to you, and know where we're going when we die. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus as Savior and Lord, I just want to tell you, Jesus lived a perfect life. He died on Calvary's cross, shed his blood willingly, rose again the third day, paid the price for your salvation, and give you assurance of where born-again believers will spend eternity in heaven with Him. And the Bible says, whosoever calls on His name shall be saved. Just like these who stirred the waters of the baptismal pool today, they came to that realization through the Word and the conviction of the Holy Spirit, and they said yes to Jesus. Some of you in the sound of my voice, whether you're in these buildings or you're listening on your electronic device, need to make that decision. It's the only way to heaven. Some of you have already made that decision. You need to make it public. You need to be a candidate for baptism and church membership. It doesn't save you. Baptism, just symbolic. Death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. You believe that. Maybe you're here today. You've been searching for a church home. You've been our guest for a while, and you've prayed about it, and you've gotten peace, and you want to place your spiritual gifts on the altar to minister through the ministries of this church to reach and disciple people in a little place called Silver Creek. I invite you to come. We'll write for you a letter. We'll take care of the details. Lord, we want to thank in advance for people who are going to make public and private decisions during this, the most important time of this service. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Our simulcast service and Family Life Center, Dan and Richard are coming forward with the praise band. Ted's going to join me here at the front. We invite you to come if you need to trust Christ, or you've already made your decision, or you want to transfer your letter, or you need prayer. If you're uncomfortable coming forward in either one of the buildings, if you're in the Family Life Center, wait till after the service. Go to the Connect desk at the east end of Family Life Center. You'll see it there. Dan and Richard will be waiting for you there. Or if you're uncomfortable coming forward here, Ted and I will be at the Welcome Center desk right out here in the middle of the complex to be able to talk to you about your decision. If you're watching on your electronic device and you need prayer, you need to talk about accepting Christ, just call 706-234-1841. Leave a message. A staff member will get back in touch with you as soon as possible. Mark's going to lead us. You come as God speaks to your heart.